Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of John, the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're but going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 1. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your wonderful grace. I want to thank you for the wonderful love of God. And Father, thank you that that love never ends. Oh God, that it will be unto the end. Thank you so much for that. Once again tonight, we need your help, we need your power, we need your wisdom as we preach. Use this message to encourage and help us in the things of the Lord. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said he loved them unto the end. I think today, in most cases, in the world anyway, there's not a lot of folk who know what really love is. People raising children and letting them do whatever they want to do, and letting them say about anything they want to say. Let them anything they ask for, they a lot of times get, and they tell them what they want to hear and all these kinds of things, and they call that love. But that's not love. I look back and I know that the pattern for love, we'll talk about that in a little while, but the pattern for love is the love of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I know, and I look in my own life, and I'm sure you can do the same thing and recognize how Jesus loves us. There's no doubt about it. But he certainly doesn't let us do everything the flesh would want to do. He doesn't tell us always what we want to hear. He tells us the word of God, you see. And so I'm just saying to you, that's love. That's the pattern of love. We need to use that pattern in the raising of our children and in our lives of our family. We need to use the pattern that Jesus Christ sent for us. Amen? So once again, I'm just simply saying to you, there's a lot of misunderstanding of what really love is all about. And we need to get back to the love of Jesus. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to preach to you tonight about the unchanging love of Jesus Christ. And I just bring out a few points to you tonight about his wonderful love. I just hope you'll listen, be encouraged by it, be helped by it, because his love is absolutely wonderful and perfect. Amen. Amen. It is a perfect, precious love that he has for us, and he's promised us he's going to love us unto the end. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's the first point that I want to give you. His love is permanent. It's permanent. You know, Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If you give some thought to that, some deep thought to that, you realize that Jesus is saying, no matter what happens, no matter where you are, no matter what circumstances you're in, The love I have for you is so great, it'll never cause me to leave you nor forsake you. I mean, what we do, the tragedies or problems that come into our life, no matter what they are, Jesus says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, why does he say that? Because his love is permanent. He has a permanent love. You know, friendships a lot of times may be dissolved. Friendships between people can be dissolved. Loved ones sometimes may prove untrue. But the love of Jesus Christ will never, ever prove untrue. His love is perfect and it's lasting. It is absolutely permanent. We human beings are fickle a lot of times. And that's why it's good for us to learn how to love like Jesus loved. You see, and we need to do that. You see, his love will never, ever change. It can't, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love will absolutely never change. The Word of God says, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You know, I look at that and I think, you know, a father and mother's love is so great. I mean, you can look at your children tonight if they're with you tonight, and your love for them is just something special. They're yours. But he says, even if their love would turn aside, he says, the love of God will take you up. You see, his love will never, ever, ever fail. Amen? Well, listen, now listen, it's important you get a hold of this. Because you're every person out here is going to go through some tough times, some hard times and tough times, when things don't go so well and when people maybe don't treat us so well. But the love of Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever fail. Amen. It is a permanent love. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. I know his love is permanent because it's eternal. It's eternal. He also says, and they shall never perish. That means never, ever, ever, ever have to go to hell. Never, ever, ever perish. Why? Because of the love of Jesus Christ is permanent. Amen? So I just want to say to you, and remember, Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he'll be the same forever. Amen? It's not like human beings. Human beings change. Amen? But no, not the Lord. Never, ever, ever. His love is always perfect. His love is permanent. The Bible says in 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. In knowing Jesus Christ, he has made us the sons of God, the children of God. Folks, you can't get it any better than that. You just can't. I was thinking this week about our folk here in the church, and I was running most of you through my mind and thinking about some of the times that you're having, the difficulties that you're having, the physical problems and other things that have come your way. And I thought, I am so thankful and so grateful that I personally don't have to carry all of that, that we can all cast all of that onto the Lord Jesus Christ who loves us. And he does. It's not up for me to be able to explain to you the whys of all of that. You remember they said in the song, you know, the why, or what is it, the when or something. I can't remember what it was they said, but they said they didn't know about that. But we know for sure he's got us, don't he? And we're his forever and ever and ever. So I can't explain to you all the whys of everything that comes your way, but I can tell you Jesus loves you. For his love is permanent. Amen. It will never, ever fail. Now, you've got to get a hold of that thing and believe it, because that's what will comfort your hearts. Amen. Not only that, let's go to the book of Romans for just a few moments. The book of Romans, the 8th chapter. I also want you to know that the love of Jesus Christ is powerful. It's powerful. I want you to listen as I read these verses of Scripture to you, starting in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? He said, is it possible for we to ever be separated from the love of God? No, it's a powerful love. It is so powerful that nothing can separate us. He said, shall tribulation, has anybody been through some tribulation? He says, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. He says, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Now listen to what he says. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, that means any other created creature, anything, can't do it, he says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, he has a powerful love. It's not something can be overridden. It's absolutely a powerful love that cannot be, we cannot be separated from the love of God. That's the promise. Amen. You see, even when, you know, you don't feel like you're loved, even when you don't feel like God loves you, even when you think God has forgot you, even when you think that he's maybe turned his back on you, he never does that. Absolutely. We turn our back on him sometimes, but he don't turn his back on us. He loves us. It's a powerful love that cannot separate us from the love of God. Amen. So keep that in mind. The love of Jesus is a wonderful, wonderful love. God, the Bible says in 1 Peter, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We're kept by his power. Amen. And that's a marvelous thing, you see. It's not us keeping ourselves. I'd have an awful lot of trouble trying to keep myself. I don't know about you, but I'd have a lot of trouble. Amen. I'd mess up real good. But the Bible says that he keeps me by his power, by faith unto salvation. Amen. That's a marvelous thing. Amen. So not only that, the love of Christ is not only permanent, it's not only a powerful love. I want to look for just a moment or two that is very, very personal. And I'm glad for that. Amen. I want you to go with me over to Galatians, the second chapter of Galatians. We're going to skip around in the scriptures here and look at the Word of God. But I want you to understand that but this love is not just, as we look at it tonight, he loves this congregation. There's no doubt about it, he loves this congregation, but he loves us personally. So Galatians, the second chapter, verse number 20. He says, I am crucified, and I want you to notice the I's and the me's. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, folks, listen, that's the Apostle Paul talking there, but he's not just giving that as he's the only one that God loves. That's the way God loves us. It's a personal love. You, individual, tonight, I certainly don't know all of the things you're going through, but you've got to understand that this love of Jesus is personal. I mean, when you go to bed of a night, he wants to hear you say goodnight to him. He wants to speak to you. He wants to help you bear your problems and your troubles. When you get up tomorrow, he wants you to look to him and check in with him and tell him how much you love him, and he'll certainly tell us how much he loves us through the Word of God. See, it's personal. And that's what we've got to get a hold of, folks. It's not just somebody else. It's not just a whole congregation. It's you. It's the individual that God loves. You understand? Heidi, did you know God loves you? Did you know that? Chad, did you know God loves you? Did you know he loves you as much as he loves Heidi? Did you know he loves Heidi as much as he loves you? Isn't that wonderful? You see, that's a wonderful thing. You see, it's the love. It's personal love. God loves us personally. Amen. We've got to get a hold of that, folks. Realize that. Understand that. And there's times that it's hard for me to understand why he would love me. I'm like there. I don't get into the whys. I'm just grateful that he does it. That he loves me. And it's a personal love. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So the love of God is permanent, and it's powerful, and it's personal. And then I want to show you over in Ephesians. If you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians, please. And we'll look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, and I want to start reading at verse number 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. You see, Paul is praying for them here. And he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I don't think there's a person in here that doesn't need the strength of God to be strengthened in the inner man. We need that. And that's a prayer of Paul that he was praying for those here in Ephesus. But listen to what he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And listen, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know what God says? God says the love of Christ passes any knowledge that we could ever come up with. It's greater than we can ever imagine. Now, he wants us to know it. He wants us to know more about him. I'm convinced about that. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. God wants us to learn about him, to know him on a personal basis. I mean, he wants you to know about the love of Jesus. He wants you to think about it, to consider it. He wants you to get to know Jesus Christ better than you ever have before. Now, the only way you're going to do that is spend some time with him. Spend time in his word, in his book. Understand? You're not going to know him if you don't know him through the word of God. Okay? And he says that the love of Christ passes knowledge. I think that's amazing. There's no way that we can ever completely understand all the love of Christ. What we can do is accept it because the word of God tells us how great and how wonderful the love of God is. I look out here at a congregation. I see people of all different personalities, and all different. They work in different areas. They do different things. And I think of the amazing love of God, that God just loves everyone. He loves every one of his children with a love that's so great, so wonderful. See, it's a personal love, and it's also past any kind of knowledge that you and I could ever understand. See, it's greater than that. Do you understand the love of God? I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but do you really understand the love of God? Do you understand why he would love us like he does? We don't deserve it. Boy, if it was a mankind, if it was one of us, we would look down and we would be ready to squash people. But God doesn't do that. God loves. God loves us, cares for us. No, he don't put up with our foolishness. He deals with us and does what he has to do. That's love. That's because he loves us. Amen. Don't look at God and say, boy, do everything that I want you to do. That's not love. But he proves to us he loves us. And if all you have to do is look throughout the day and see what God does and how he encourages us and helps us and comforts us and meets our needs and does all of those things for us, that's the love of God. You understand? And it's just unable for you and I to understand that completely and fully. It's past knowledge, you see. Amen? All right. Then over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, I'd like for you to turn there. 5th chapter. I want to talk to you a moment because the love of Christ is our pattern for love. I told you earlier, we need to learn how to love like Jesus loves. Now listen to what he says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the first 2 verses. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Do you hear what he said? Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. I believe with all of my heart one of the greatest needs in Christianity today is learn to love like Jesus loves. We old human beings, we have to work at that. But I'm telling you, he said we're to walk in love as Jesus loved. We're to walk in that kind of love. And it ought to be the pattern for our love. The love of Christ ought to be our pattern. That's what we look after. That's what we follow after. Listen to what he says in 1 John 3, 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Listen to what he's saying. Perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen? We ought to lay our lives. You know, why? Because his love is a pattern for our love. That's what he said. Now, Jesus laid down his life For us, every single one of us that's born again, he did that for the whole world, but many do not accept it, but he done that for the whole world. And then he says to us, we ought to walk in that same way. We ought to lay down our life as a sacrifice for others, as for the brethren. Amen. We need to get our minds off of self. I've preached this quite a few times in the last year. We got to get our minds off of self. What's important to us and what is important for the work of God. Now, some folk never are concerned about the work of God. Never, ever, absolutely never concerned about the work of God. It's all them. But we are supposed to be concerned about the work of God and what happens to the work of God. See, there's a lot going on right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think wonderful things going on. The most, I told them, I think in Sunday school, I preached a message here sometime about what was all going out, and people were amazed of all the ministries that we have here and all the things that was going on. You see, that's what it's about. It isn't about me, it isn't about you. It isn't about how you feel or how I feel. It's about the work of God. Amen? See, and if you get your mind on you, the work of God, and off of you, and off and me off of me, you'd be surprised what God could do around here. Amen. That's absolutely right. See, His love ought to be the pattern for our love. Let me give you an illustration of that. If you go back, we're not going to take the time to go back into the book, but you'll remember the story back in the book of Esther. And how the Jews was going to be slaughtered. Haman had come up with this plan, and he was going to slaughter all the Jews on a certain day. And he was going to do everything he could to destroy all the Jews. Well, Esther was a Jew. So was Mordecai there. And so anyway, Esther said this in the 8th chapter, 6th verse. How can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? See, Esther was not worrying about self. She was worried about the destruction of her kindred. How can I endure that, she said. Listen to me. Now, folks, some of us has kindred. Some of us have family. They may be extended family. They may be down the road. But some of us have family that's in great danger. How can we endure to see the destruction of our kindred? You see, the Bible talks about that they're lost. The gospel is hid to the lost. It's blinded. They're lost. Amen? They're perishing, according to the Bible. If they would die, they'll perish forever and ever. Amen? The Bible tells us that they're condemned already. Because they know not Christ. They have not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're condemned already. Now, how can we endure to see the destruction of our kindred? Do you hear what I'm saying? Should not there be a burden and a concern of prayer and doing everything we can do to get the gospel to them? Everybody says, well, I can't make. No, you can't make them get saved. But God has given us power through prayer that we can take the gospel to them, and God can open their eyes, those blinded eyes. Can he not? He is capable of doing that, you see. So I feel that we should have, like Esther had, a real deep down concern for our brethren and for our kindred. Amen. So we ought to be saying, how can I endure to see the destruction of the our kindred? How can I do that? See, Esther went in to see the king, and she told her handmaids, she said, you fast, I'll fast for 3 days. We won't eat, we won't drink for 3 days. And you, the handmaids, you do the same thing, and then I'm going in to see the king. Now, the whole deal was that she could not go in and present her before the king unless she was called before the king. And if she was not called before the king, he could have her killed. I mean, she was going in there facing death. You hear what I'm saying? And so what did she do? She went in and said this, if I perish, I perish. In other words, I've got to do something about my kindred. I've got to do something. So she said, if I perish, then I perish. You see, it was that important. It was that important for her, you see. And I believe there ought to be a concern, you see, for our kindred, the people who know not Christ. I think we ought to say, so if I perish, I perish. We've got to get it. We've got to get this done. We've got to get them saved. We've got to get the gospel to them anyway. Amen. You see. And they had no rest. They had no food for 3 days. And as she went in, and when she went in into the presence of the king, she went in to plead for her people. And here's what he said. What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is thy request? She did not die. No, because that they had been prepared to go in. And the king said, he said, what do you want, Esther? What's your request? What I'm saying to you is, we're not facing a king that wants to kill us if we come in. We're facing the King Jesus who wants us to come in. Amen. That's what he's told us to do. Come to the throne of grace. Amen. So should not we do that? I see with Mordecai, and I see with Esther, I see cooperation between them to get people saved. I believe that's what the church ought to do. I believe that's the responsibility of the church. Cooperate together to get people saved. In every ministry that we have here, our desire in that ministry is ultimately to see people saved, come to Christ. And we cooperate together by all the people that work in all the ministries to bring people to Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, that's what we're to do. So what should our pattern be? Our pattern ought to be, according to the scriptures, ought to be the love of Christ. That ought to be our pattern. We ought to love like Jesus loves. Amen. And we ought to learn that. That's what he said over in the scripture. You ought to learn, you see, the love of Christ. You learn how he loved. And we ought to practice and use him as our pattern for love. And get off of all this other stuff, you know, worrying about this, worrying about that. Let's get like Jesus. Let's be like Jesus. Amen. Let's get like him. And let's learn the love of Christ. Let it be our pattern. Not only that, over in 2 Corinthians, please, the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians. I'm just going to read verse 14, but I want to share with you that the love of Christ is a constraining love. He tells us in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth me, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You know what the Apostle Paul was saying? He was saying when he said the love of Christ constraineth me, he said it has enveloped me. If you will read and look up those words, he said it has enveloped me. It's what's got a hold of me. It's what determines my whole life. The love of Christ, he said, constraineth me. When Paul got up of a morning, the love of Christ was constraining him to live for God, to walk with God, preach the word of God as it is. It had a hold of Paul. I'm saying to you, I believe that the love of Christ ought to get a hold of us. It ought to constrain us. You understand? Understand what this preacher's saying? I mean, we ought to let the love of God get a hold of us from morning till night. You understand what this preacher's saying? See, Paul said, that's what drives me. That's why I live the way I live, is because of the love of Christ. Amen. Now you look through the life of Apostle Paul. He didn't put up with foolishness. You read it. You read it. I mean, there was times people wanted to kill him. And one time he was stoned and left for dead. Amen. Sure. They had to let him down over a wall in a basket. You know why he did that? Because of the love of Christ constraining him to preach the word of God and to stand for the word of God. Stand fast on the word of God. Amen. And so the love of Christ had a hold of him. It constrained him. Amen. So the love of God is permanent, and it's powerful, and it's personal, and it's past knowledge. You can't understand it. And it's a pattern for our love. Amen. It's a pattern. And not only that, it's a constraining love. Let it get a hold of you. It'll change your life. It'll change the way you live. It'll change what you think. Yeah. It'll change what direction you're doing and going in life. Some of our young folk don't know for sure what they're going to do in life. Get the love of God constraining you, and He'll give you direction. Wherever you go and whatever you do, I'm just telling you right now, it'll head you in the right direction because the love of God is constraining you. You understand? And then not only that, lastly, the love of Christ is a cleansing love. The Bible says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. You see, the love of Christ will cleanse you. Should you be here tonight without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need washed in the blood. And it's that wonderful love of God that'll wash you. He'll take you and save you and give you eternal life. You see, because it's a cleansing love. Amen. It'll wash you from all your sins. All you ever committed, all you ever will commit, the love of Christ will love you and wash you in His blood. I'm always claiming in my prayers, I talk to the Lord about my sin, my unknown sin. I talk to Him about my apathy at times. I talk to Him about all kinds of things. Amen. And then I tell Him, I want to be better for Him today. I want to do better. I want to do better than I did yesterday. Whatever I messed up, I'm sorry I messed up, and I want to be better than that. I don't know how you talk to God, but I just talk to Him like I would talk to my own daddy at times. Just talk to Him and tell Him the things that I need. His love is wonderful. Amen. His love is permanent. It's powerful. It's personal. It's past knowledge, and it's a pattern for our love, and it's also constraining. Get a hold of you, constrains you to live right and do right, you see. And it's a cleansing love. Now, I don't know how anybody can turn down that kind of love. It's pretty hard for me to understand how anybody could turn it down. When back in 1966, when I had the understanding for the first time that Jesus really loved me, I just thought it was all church. I just thought it was all these other things. But it wasn't. Jesus loved me. I found that out. I yielded unto Him and received Him as my personal Savior. It's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to this preacher. Greatest thing. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Washed in His blood. Cleansed of all of my sin because of Jesus and His wonderful love for me. I didn't come tonight to explain His love. I think that it's past knowledge. But I can sure tell you that His love is real. And not only for anyone here that's not saved. If you're not saved, you need to accept the love of Jesus Christ. You need to realize He loves you and wants to save you. You need to realize you're a sinner. And you come to Christ, He'll save you and give you eternal life. Put your faith and trust in Him, and He'll save you. Christians here tonight need to realize the wonderful love of Jesus and be constrained by it. Let it guide you. Let it lead you. Let it take you on in life. Amen. Because it's a wonderful love. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You tonight for Your wonderful love and kindness to us. We sure need You, and we need that love of God that passes all understanding. And Father, tonight I pray, should there be anyone here tonight that You've dealt with in a special way, that maybe You just believe that they should respond. Lord, come to an altar of prayer and just get along with You and help them, as You will help them to understand how much You love them. If there's anyone unsaved here today, God, please work on that heart. Deal with that heart. Help them to understand their need of Jesus, that they might be saved. Once again, we commit this invitation to You, that the will of God will be done, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.